Today, our message is going to be from Jeremiah chapter 9, and I entitled it, You Know the Lord, okay? And before I read Jeremiah 9, I want to just review where we've been and what we've been doing. Our focus this fall has been from the life of Abraham. Abraham was blessed in order to what? Be a blessing. And so our goal is to receive God's blessing and then see how much we can bless other people around us. And so we have an acronym for BLESS that are some principles we live by. B is begin with prayer. L is listen. E is eat with people, build friendships. S is serve them. And then the last S is share your story. So I have a question for you. How many people do you know who are like friends or like people you know fairly well from work or wherever who have never heard your story? Lots, okay, right? So I put a card in with the bulletins. I didn't. Way put it in. There's a card in your bulletin there. What if you wrote down the names of some friends that you know pretty well or some people you're acquainted with that you know have never heard your story about how you became a Christian? What if you began to pray for them and then look for opportunities to share your story with them? Does that sound like a good idea? Yeah. Now, some of us will probably be a little apprehensive about that. And believe it or not, way back when I was younger and in college, I was very apprehensive about talking to anybody about the Lord. And I mentioned how the pastor of the church I joined in college, the first time he met me afterwards, he said, this guy's like so scared to even talk about God in front of his roommate, I'm never going to like go visit him again. But he did, and he eventually recruited me to become a pastor and help start a church. But I understand what it's like to be fearful. And so one of the things you have to do is you have to pray, but you just have to step out and do it. And once you do it, it's actually not that hard. I had breakfast with a state legislator a couple years ago. And we were just getting to know each other. We asked each other a lot of questions about family, growing up. And it's very natural for me to share my story. So I just like shared my story with him. He's a very secular guy. When I was done, he just looked at me for a moment and couldn't say anything. And finally, Dave, I don't even know how to respond to that. I said, that's okay. Thank you for listening. Do you know what I mean? It's like he had no frame of reference for someone meeting Jesus and inviting Jesus into their life. But I got to plant a seed. And so I was really thankful for that. In November and December, as Pat mentioned, we're going to shorten the service because a lot of people aren't used to an hour and a half service. And we'd like to have some testimonies some of those weeks. But you've got to keep it under 5 minutes, okay? We'll give you a little time, but you have to keep it under 5 minutes. So I'm going to share my testimony, okay? Peter is also somebody who likes to time, like how long it takes somebody to talk. I just want to share my story. So you can see it's not hard to do, and it doesn't take a long time. So for those of you who don't know me, I'm Dave Hill. I grew up in Pennsylvania. And I went to church every week, Methodist church, and I believed in God. If you'd asked me, do you believe in Jesus? I said, yes, I believe in Jesus as the Son of God. But I didn't really know the Lord in a close way. We had a big youth rally for all the Methodist churches around my hometown, and the great thing about it is they had a band. They had a college group of guys who were playing drums and guitars, and we had never seen anything but organ music, so we thought that was fantastic. One of the guys from the band then shared his testimony. He said, like, I was on drugs, and I was strung out. I gave my life to Jesus. Now I'm free. I was like, wow. Another guy, guitar, shared his story. You know, my mom and dad, we fought all the time. I said I hated them. I invited Jesus into my life, and now we're all reconciled. I was like, wow, I never heard anybody talk about knowing Jesus that way. And the pastor got up, and he said, your life is like your home. And like if somebody comes to your apartment or your home and knocks on the door, you can invite them in or not. And he said, most of us kind of treat God that way. We sort of invite God into maybe like one room of our house. God will go to church, and I'll try and be a nice person. He said, God only comes in by invitation. And Jesus wants to be in every single room of your life. And I was totally like touched in my heart. I said, I need to do that. So I went forward, invited Jesus into my life. My life didn't change dramatically because I wasn't really doing that many things wrong, but I began to know God in a real way. Instead of God being far off, he was near. Praise God. So when I timed myself yesterday, it took me less than 2 minutes to say that. Did I give enough information? Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? So I'm just saying that we can learn how to share our story. And your story has power because your friends probably could care less about listening to me, to be honest. But they are interested in what you have to say. And so I just want to encourage you that God wants to use you. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I have to confess, when I listened to Harley's message and she said, come on, can somebody give me an amen? I said, this is pride on my part, but did you learn that from me? She goes, I totally got it from you, Mr. Hill. I said, like, good. I'm so happy. All right, let's read Jeremiah 9. This is a great scripture that Jeremiah spoke. It's the first scripture on your sheet. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of wisdom, let not the mighty man boast of his might, let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, I pray that this word would take root in our hearts and minds, that you would touch us by your Spirit. Use me, Lord, for your service. We pray, Father, that we would be a people who can boast in you, that we know you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I have a story to share with you. This is a real-life story that just happened 2 or 3 weeks ago. I'm going to brag on my wife a little bit. Ingrid's a teacher at a Christian school, and she coaches middle school girls soccer. All right. So most of these girls are not that athletic. A lot of them never played soccer before. But they were a pretty good team this year. We had one girl's a real ringer. They went to a school called Dexter Southfield in Brookline. It's on top of this hill. It is the most gorgeous prep school you've ever seen. Beautiful buildings. They have an observatory. It's on the hill. It's like a little college campus. They have a new $1 million turf playing field. So the girls from Boston Trinity come up. They're from this school that's a former Catholic elementary school. They play on a field of weeds, and they see the buildings, and they see the turf field, and they are totally, like, in awe. And they're getting ready for the game, and Ingrid's like, how am I going to get these girls to play? They're, like, intimidated by everything they see here. So I was there. I came early. She pulls the girls together for a huddle right before the game. She goes, okay, girls, I can tell we're, like, a little overwhelmed and just, like, we don't have money, we don't have riches, we don't have a turf field. But you know what? This is what the Bible says. Let not a wise man boast of a wisdom. Let not a mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he knows me, that I'm the Lord. We don't have money, and we're not mighty, but we know the Lord. And they're like, yeah! And it's like, I wish I had it. It was like a movie. And they go out, and they beat Dexter Southfield 3-2. Now, I'm not going to do this, but I would love to get our church in a huddle and say, you know what? We get intimidated by Boston all the time. And just like the mindset, the political correctness, the like Christians are narrow-minded and unintellectual and this and that. And so we just kind of get quiet. You know the Lord. You know the Lord who made heaven and earth. He's your Lord. That's powerful. Psalm 23, David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. Or King James says, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. We love that psalm. David, I believe, is bragging. Okay? So David's saying, I'm a shepherd. I take care of my sheep. I feed them. I make sure they have pasture. I protect them from lions and bears. And if one of them goes astray, I go find them and bring them back. And guess what? The Lord, El Shaddai, God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He's got my back. I don't fear an evil. He's my strength. He's my deliverer. That's your God. And so David had that. So on your outline, number one, I think you got, we're going to pray and look for opportunities to share. Number two, God wants us to boast that we know him. And three, the Lord is my shepherd. Is David doing what? Bragging. And he goes on to say, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I love it. If you look at the next scripture, it's from the New Living Translation. Surely goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. Like God's goodness is chasing you. Do you believe that? We just sang about it. Like his, you know, his love is chasing us. There's no mountain he won't climb. There's no wall he won't kick down. He pursues us. Deuteronomy 28:2 says, if you obey my commandments, these blessings will follow you and overtake you. I used to have a nightmare that, like, I was running, and I was, like, my legs were tired. It was, like, running through. I was getting slower, and the bad guys were, like, catching me. It was a terrible dream, and I'd always wake up right when they were going to, like, stab me or whatever else. Let's flip that around to something good. No matter how you're walking or running, God's goodness is chasing you. His mercy is chasing you. It will catch you. Hallelujah. So that's the next fill-in. It's chasing you. Why? You know the Lord. Jesus Christ is your Savior. And so that blessing is now following you all the days of your life. He's pursuing you. So you know the Lord. Don't let Boston get you down or intimidated. God is with you. And if God is for you, who can be against you? How many of you believe Boston's not too hard for God? Yeah. Well, that means Boston and the people in it aren't too hard for us. Because God uses people. So I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, Boston's not too hard for you. So number five, Boston must not intimidate us. You know the Lord. And the next point, you have what other people are looking for. Do you believe that? I think a lot of time as Christians, I don't know, we just don't think of ourselves that way because we don't want to be proud. And I don't want you to be proud, but I want you to know you have what other people are looking for. How many of you have experienced peace from God? Joy. Gladness, hope for the future, help in a time of trouble. Do you know how many people around us would love to have that in their lives? You have it. You can share it with them. I was listening to watching a video that we show in the jail that I go in once a month with, and it's called Manhood Restored, and it's this inner city pastor from Philadelphia. He's great. And he's preaching, and he's talking that in our society today, there's a problem that he calls daddy deprivation. That's your fill-in. That men and women are deprived of fathers. That has a big effect on them. So they had a testimony of a man in his 20s, and he was talking how that when he grew up, his father was completely absent, and he resented that. And if his mother ever mentioned, oh, your father is this and that, he goes, what do you mean? I don't have a father. I don't even want to dignify him with that title of father. He is not a father to me. He's not there. He has nothing to do with me. And his father died, and he said he felt absolutely no sadness over the death of his father. And he said, I was sad that I wasn't sad. Then he met the Lord. And he started describing that all of a sudden, like, God is my father. God is there for me. God hears me. I can go to him. And he went on to say, I actually have trouble going to the Lord sometimes because there's this part of me, it's like I doubt that he'll be there. I doubt that he really wants me to come to him, but he does. And I found that God is always there for me, no matter how much I mess up, and these tears are like streaming down this guy's face. And he goes, I found God will never leave me or forsake me. He knows the Lord. You know the Lord. You know God's always there for you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Think about Jesus. He called a bunch of ragtag fishermen, Simon the Zealot and Matthew the tax collector, who should have hated each other. He brings them all together, and these are men who never dreamt that a rabbi in a million years would want them to be like part of his ministry. And he worked with them for 3 years, and they in turn changed the world. You're here today because there were men and women 2,000 years ago who never dreamt that God would use them to, quote unquote, change the destiny of the nations. But he did. Now, how is that possible? How can ordinary fishermen change the destiny of the world? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. God loves us just the way we are. He accepts us through Jesus, but he doesn't leave us the way we are. And so the same Spirit, Paul says, that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you. And that's why no one is too far gone for Jesus. The power to heal. The power to heal the brokenness in that young man's life that I described. The power to break bad habits in your life and enable you to start good ones resides within you by the Holy Spirit. The power to throw off discouragement, tiredness, feeling desperate, whatever it is, lies within you. Somebody say, praise God. Yeah, praise God. We're blessed. Becky and Linda, when we had the park outreach, prayed for a woman and she got healed of like a headache and hearing. But it wasn't them, it was Jesus Christ in them. You know the Lord. The next point is you know how to do life. Do you believe that? I don't feel that great. No, you do. You know how important it is to be part of a body of believers. Like you don't just go to church once a week. You belong to a church. You are the church. You know that. You know how to manage money. If you don't, that's why we have a financial peace seminar where people learn to make a budget and learn to save and learn to tithe and learn to do things. Most people don't know how to manage their money. I talk to young people all the time, and they're like, I said, do you ever save money? No. It's easy come, you get it, they spend it. You can't get ahead in life if you do that. But you know that. You know how to confess your sins to God. You know how significant that is? You know how to receive forgiveness from the God who made you. And because you've been forgiven, you know how to forgive other people. There's a guy who lived with us years ago. He started working at a nursing home. And after a couple weeks, he goes, Dave, I can't work there anymore. I said, well, you're doing great. I was trying to encourage him, like, you got a job, keep at it. He goes, the people there are so bitter. They are complaining about people and things that happened 50 years ago. And it just pushed all his buttons. And I agreed with him. No, that wasn't a good environment for him. But we know how to let go of offenses or go and talk to someone and like work it out. Most people don't know how to do that. So I'm not joking. I'm not just buttering you up. You really do know how to do life because you know the Word of God. You're the people of God. You have what people in Boston need. You have the words of eternal lives. Your lives and the way you live are a light to the world. Look with me at Philippians 2, verses 14 through 16. Let's read this together. In everything you do, stay away from complaining and arguing so that no one can speak a word of blame against you. You are to live clean, innocent lives as children of God in a dark world full of people who are crooked and stubborn. Shine out among them like beacon lights, holding out to them the word of life. So what's the word of life? It's the truth of Scripture. Just the basic things I've been telling you are things that you hold out to people. How to have peace, how to forgive. If you can help someone forgive, you've changed the destiny of their life. Hallelujah. We can do that. We know the living God. God says you shine. When you choose not to complain at work, you're a witness. How many of you work in a place where lots of people complain? Yeah. How many of you complain at your house and workplace too? I mean, like, so we got to throw that off. So Paul's saying, when you stop complaining and don't argue, you're a light. You become a light in the world. And God wants us to hold forth his word, his truth to people around us. On your sheet number 11, God can use you to help people find their way back to him. God can use you to do that. Now, some of you, that might take some faith. I don't know if I believe that. I believe it. That's why I'm speaking it to you today. You can. You know the Lord. It's not too hard for him. When we're weak, he's strong. When we're afraid, he can put courage in our hearts. God can use us. God wants Abundant Grace Church to be fruitful and multiply again. And so we're just going to continue doing the kind of things we're doing this year. Some of it's just having fun with people. Others, it's sharing your story, serving people, being a blessing. We just keep putting into practice those principles. Fruit's going to start coming. We'll start having new people in our church. That's what God wants to do. So I want you to have faith for that. Hallelujah. You know the Lord. That's why it can happen. All right, let's close out with this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This is Paul writing, and he's talking to believers, and he says this, "For consider your calling, brethren, brothers and sisters, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble." What passage does that sound like? Jeremiah 9 that we read at the beginning, right? So Paul's got that in his head. "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things that are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised, God has chosen the things that are not, so that he might nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus." You are in Christ Jesus. You are not the person you used to be. "Who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." We are righteous because of Jesus. Sanctification means being made holy. The Spirit of Jesus stirs us and helps us become holy people. Redemption. You were sold into slavery to sin and Satan, and Jesus bought you by hanging on a cross. So now you're free. You don't have to be a slave to sin. Paul says, don't even consider yourself a slave to sin. Consider yourself a slave to righteousness. What a mindset. And then he finishes, quoting Jeremiah 9, "Just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." You have something to boast in because you have faith in Jesus Christ. Are you with me? And it's nothing great about you, but you have a great Lord, and you know the Lord. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen. All right, if we could have the worship team up for a closing song. So let's pray together right now. Father God, we want to thank you for being our Lord. We want to thank you that we know you, that you're not just a good idea, you're not just someone who's far away that we pray to, but that you are with us. You will never leave us or forsake us. You're at work in our lives. Father, I thank you that I can see you in every person in this room. Thank you. Father, I pray that you would give us a heart to know you better, to keep pressing on in you. And I pray you would put that kind of spirit in us that Ingrid put into her girls on the soccer team. They're like, we know the Lord. We can do this. We can be a blessing to Boston. We can be fruitful. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Father, let that be ringing in our hearts and springing from our mouths to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.